Hi, everybody. Welcome back to English for You. I'm Pat.
I'm Tiffany.
And we're on day three of our story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So let's recap. Charlie Bucket is a poor boy from a poor family.
Mm-hmm. And remember, Willy Wonka was this chocolate genius. And then he was giving out all these tickets to people.To visit his factory. So this is something quite exciting because he closed the factory off. Not many people can go inside it anymore. So this is something really interesting and really fun and exciting for the people living in that city or town.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have any workers, so people are really interested. Now, to get in, they had to find these golden tickets that were hidden inside Wonka's candy bars. Now, the first four were quickly found by Augustus Gloop,who is a fat, greedy boy, Veruca Salt, who is rich and spoiled, Violet Beauregard, who chews gum, and Mike TV, who, appropriately enough, loves TV. These were the first four.
Right. And, of course, Charlie wants to find the ticket as well, but he wasn't very lucky at first. For his birthday, his family did buy him a chocolate bar, but, unfortunately, there was not a ticket inside of it.And then his grandpa also bought him a chocolate bar, but again, they didn't find the ticket inside the chocolate. But one day, Charlie does find a coin on the street, right?
Yep, and he wins the final ticket. Everyone's happy. He decides he can take one adult to the factory. He chooses Grandpa Joe, who he's quite close to. And then so all these kids get to the factory, the gate's opened, and...
The fun part begins.
Yes, let's read through day three and find out.
Reading. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka welcomed everyone inside. His factory was a magical place. There was a garden where everything could be eaten, with a river of chocolate passing through it. The guests also saw the Oompa Loompas.Willy Wonka's secret workers. These little men loved to sing, play jokes, and eat cocoa beans. Charlie was having the time of his life. However, the other children weren't behaving well. Greedy Augustus tried to drink from the chocolate river and fell in. Violet tried to chew some special new gum and swelled up like a purple balloon.Veruca tried to grab one of Wonka's clever squirrels, but they threw her in the trash. Mike shrank himself so he could get inside a TV. Only Charlie was left at the end. Wonka then told him the truth. He was looking for someone to take over the factory. Since Charlie was a good, kind, honest boy, Wonka put him in charge.Charlie's whole family could move into the chocolate factory.
So the article begins by saying Willy Wonka welcomed everyone inside. And in the book, this is a very big event. You know, he's kind of all singing, all dancing. It's all exciting. And he is this very crazy, funny, unusual guy. He is excited about everything and he's happy to meet everyone. So he welcomes them all inside the factory.
Right. Next, it says his factory was a magical place. So it really was. Later, we'll start reading about what kinds of things are inside of his factory. But when you watch the movie and you watch the films, it really was a magical thing to see.
Here's one example. There was a garden where everything could be eaten with a river of chocolate passing through it. And he said this was the only way to churn the chocolate and mix it up properly was to have it as a river. Now, this river of chocolate passed through this garden of eatables. And to pass through something means to go from one side of something to the other. And when we talk about a river, we could also say it runs through a city or a garden or a field. So pass through or run through with a river or a road, they mean the same thing. They go from one side to the other.
I remember when I watched the film and I saw this river of chocolate, I was freaking out.
Yes.
I really wish that we could have one in real life. Something also fun we see in this story was we see these people. Okay, next it says, the guests also saw the Oompa Loompas, Willy Wonka's secret worker. So he didn't have human workers in his factory. He had these, I don't know how you would describe them, but just weird looking.
Yeah, they're not very tall. They're only about a size of a child, but and they're kind of round. In the movie, they're orange, and they have like green hair and white gloves. And what we find out also is these little men loved to sing, play jokes, and eat cocoa beans. Now, cocoa beans, they are the seeds of a cocoa tree. This is what's used to make chocolate. And these little men, they are kind of working in there. So that's who his workers were all along. He says he actually saved them and brought them to his factory from this horrible country where they came from. That's the explanation of who they are and why they're there. But they just like to have fun and eat chocolate. And who doesn't?
Yeah, and what a great place to work for them as well. Okay, so next in the story it says, Charlie was having the time of his life. Okay, so the time of one's life, it can be your life or someone else's life, is our shortcut for you for today. So let's first listen and find out what this phrase means and then how to use it.
Shortcut for you.
Hi, Angeline. How is life in Tokyo?
It's so much better than I could imagine.
It sounds like you don't miss life in Taipei.
Well, there's so much to do and see in Tokyo. To be honest, I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, the time is 5:45 p.m., but since you're in Tokyo, you're 1 hour ahead of us.
That's an odd way to change the subject.
Didn't you ask me for the time? You said something about the time.
Oh, I said I'm having the time of my life. To have the time of one's life means to enjoy oneself very much.
Oh, to have the time of one's life means 非常愉快的经历. Is there really nothing you miss about Taipei?
I miss the bubble tea. Japan has a lot of interesting drinks, but nothing is better than bubble tea.
That's it?
I miss you, of course. Come visit me next month and we can have the time of our lives.
All right, so we learned that having the time of one's life or the time of one's life, it means a time where you had a lot of fun. It was like the highlight of your whole life, basically.
Yeah, just a really great time. Now, Charlie was loving it, but as the article says, however, the other children weren't behaving well. We'll kind of find out what they do in a moment, but let's look at the word behave, which is a verb spelt B-E-H-A-V-E, behave, and it's the way you act, to act in a particular way, especially with regards to other people. So it's all the things you do, how you treat others, all that kind of thing. For example, Tony is a good little boy who always behaves politely to others. However, the kids here, except Charlie, they were not behaving or not behaving well.
Yeah, like first we have greedy Augustus. Remember, he's the fat boy, the fat greedy boy. Greedy Augustus tried to drink from the chocolate river and fell in. Okay, yeah. It's hard to resist the temptation of this chocolate river, but I remember also in the story that Willy Wonka explained that you shouldn't touch anything in the factory and that you should always follow him. So Augustus tried to drink the chocolate because, of course, he was hungry.
Fat greedy kid.
Yeah, and he fell in the river.
Yeah, there we go. Now, he kind of disappears in the story. We're going to move on to our next one, which is Violet. Now, remember, she loved to chew gum. And the article says, Violet tried to chew some special new gum and swelled up like a purple balloon. Now, in the story, this is a full meal gum. So tasting it, you'll get the flavors one by one of an entire three-course meal. So she wants to eat it. And the final course is this blueberry pie. And when she finishes it, something goes wrong because the gum's not ready yet to be sold. And she swells up like a purple balloon. And once again, Willy Wonka told her not to do it. Okay, so this story is all about people who don't do what they're told and let their worst characteristics take over. Let's look at the word swell. It's spelled S-W-E-L-L, swell, and it means to become larger and rounder in size. Now, it's not usually a person who does this. We often use it to describe a part of the body, like you might swell after getting bitten by a mosquito, a big red thing on your arm that looks kind of big. As we see in the article, it's often used with the preposition up, because something that swells gets bigger, like a balloon. So we say blow up a balloon, so it's kind of the same thing. You swell up, you seem to get bigger or move higher. For example, after I hit my thumb with the hammer, it turned red and started to swell up.
Ouch.
Yes.
All right, so next, let's see. Veruca says, Veruca tried to grab one of Wonka's clever squirrels, but they threw her in the trash.
She's the spoiled one who wants everything.
And I think she said that she wanted one of the squirrels, and she told her dad to buy it.
Yes.
But they were not for sale.
Nope, that's
so
right.
So she tried to grab it for herself and to try to take it home.
Yeah, in the movie, they changed the squirrels to, I think it's geese that lay golden eggs that she wants to buy, because maybe squirrels are harder to film, but it's certainly squirrels in the book.
Right, so I think they were, it has something to do with them maybe cleaning the nuts or something.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so let's first take a look at our vocabulary word here. We see the word grab. It's spelled G-R-A-B, grab. It's a verb here, and it means to quickly hold on and take something. So, for example, you grab your keys, which means you take your keys when you leave the house. You can also grab your bag. So it means you're quickly taking this thing and then leaving. We can also say grabbing a bite to eat or grab a bite to eat. It means to get something quick to eat. Or even you can say grab that opportunity. It means to hold on to an opportunity or a chance while you still have the chance. Okay, or something can grab your attention.
Yeah, grab can kind of mean a bad thing, like someone can grab your bag and try and run away with it. So here it's bad because she shouldn't be taking the squirrels. They belong to Willy Wonka. They live in his factory. But she's tried to grab one. So it's mine kind of thing. But these are clever squirrels. And they throw her in the trash. Now, they are clever, C-L-E-V-E-R, clever. And clever means intelligent or smart in some way, either because they know a lot of things or because they act in a way that shows that they are intelligent and sensible or skilled and so on. Now, these squirrels are clever because they pick up nuts, as Tiffany mentioned, all the nuts that go in Wonka's chocolate bars and so on, and they pick them up. And they can throw the bad ones away and keep the good nuts. So they kind of shake them and knock on them and figure it out. Okay, bad nut, throw it in the trash. And it seems that when they grab Veruca Salt, they rap on her head and decide, she's a bad nut, throw her in the trash. We could also say, the clever students knew all the answers to the teacher's questions.
Okay, so next in this story it says, we know what happened to Veruca. What about Mike? It says Mike shrank himself so he could get inside a TV.
He loved TV.
Yeah.
And so finally he got his wish of being in or on the TV.
Yeah. And what he did, he shrank himself. Now, the word shrank, the present tense is shrink. S-H-R-A-I-N-K, shrink. The past tense is shrink, S-H-R-A-N-K. Now, shrink means to become smaller and smaller. So it's the opposite of the word that we learned a while ago, swell. So shrink means to become smaller and smaller and smaller. For example, flower petals, you know, after flowers die, they shrink in size because they dry up and they become smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
We can also say, Mom washed my sweater and it shrank two sizes.
Oh, so it means no.
I can't wear it anymore. It doesn't fit. It's too small for me.
Yep, that happens when you put it in water that's too hot, I believe.
Yeah, they shrink.
Now, he used this special machine. Wonka had this idea of shrinking his chocolate bars so he could send them to other parts of the world before they grew up to become real size, something like that. So Mike TV, he thought, I can be on TV. Great, I'm going to shrink myself. And, of course, Wonka told him not to and, you know, he shouldn't do that. So yet again, this fourth out of four children has given in to their bad habits and done something they shouldn't, didn't listen to what they were told, and something bad has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And which, of course, is why the article says only Charlie was left at the end. He was the only one who didn't do something bad, who actually followed the rules, listened to what Wonka said, was a good boy, and he was the last one.
Mm-hmm. Wonka then explained, he said. Wonka then told him the truth. He was looking for someone to take over the factory.
Oh.
So maybe it was like a test.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm going to see. I need to find someone who's going to take over from me. And he got five kids. He thought it could be one of them. But four of them were just bad.
Yeah, which is kind of a good. They didn't pass the test.
Mm.
Now, let's first take a look at what take over means. It means to have control over something. It's usually to take control over like a company or to take control over a project. Here, Wonka is looking for someone to kind of have control over the company in the future, to kind of be the boss of the company.
That's right. You take over something when somebody else has been in charge and then they stop being in charge and you are now in charge. So you take over that way. The article then says, since Charlie was a good, kind, honest boy, Wonka put him in charge. So, of course, we know that Charlie is good. In the book, you see stuff about him looking after his family. He's kind to them, these old grandparents he has. He's honest. He followed the rules. He didn't lie and all of that sort of stuff. Let's look a bit more at honest. It's spelled H-O-N-E-S-T. Like many words that start with H, it's a silent H. So it sounds like honest, but it's spelt with an H. And someone who is honest always tells the truth and never tries to make someone believe the wrong thing. Now, it could describe somebody in general, like Charlie here. He is an honest boy. We could also use it to talk about a particular action or the way that someone is behaving at a particular time. So you may not always be honest, but if you're honest most of the time, then people say, okay, he's honest. For example, Glenn is not an honest person. So don't believe anything he tells you.
Mm-hmm. Be careful of that, Glenn.
Yeah.
All right. So Willy Wonka put Charlie in charge. Now, when you put someone in charge of something, it means that you appoint them to take control over something. So you say you have the responsibility of finishing a task or running a business or anything, to do something, to take the responsibility of finishing something. So you give them the power to be like the leader or the boss. So, for example, if your mom put you in charge of taking care of your younger sister, it means it's your responsibility to take care of your younger sister.
Okay, so the article finishes by saying Charlie's whole family could move into the chocolate factory.
Wow.
So, which is great because obviously they're poor, they haven't got much to eat, they live in a tiny house, but now they can all live in this chocolate factory. We didn't mention how they get there. There's this amazing bit with a glass elevator that moves around and takes the whole family. We had to leave out a load of fun stuff from the article about how good the chocolate tasted, the different things in the factory, all the fun things. We just didn't have it room for it all. It's such a good story, so do read it if you get the chance. But we have come to the end of it, which means it's now time for our third and final For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
So here's the question. Have you ever been rewarded for behaving well? And explain what happened. I mean, we could also throw it the other way. Have you ever been punished for behaving badly? explain what happened. But, yeah, like Charlie, have you ever, you know, followed the rules, did what was right, done something good, and you get a reward for behaving so well?
I think that probably happened to me when I was in elementary school.
Tiffany, are you suggesting that since then you have not behaved well?
I think I've always just been a good student at school. I never did anything dishonest or I never did anything out of line. Mm-hmm. But I never was also the type of person that was like... Because I think if you're the type of person who does everything so well and you are rewarded for these things, you're kind of known as like the teacher's pet. So I never really was that type of person.
Well, I'd say that's a strange thing, because if you were that person in Taiwan, that would be good.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be the most popular person. Unfortunately, in the US and the UK, that person...
You'd be made fun of.
Yeah, which is a very silly thing. So, mm-hmm. Yes, you should always behave well and follow the rules. Have I ever... I recall at school being... We used to have a system of credits where if we did something good, we would get credits for our class kind of thing, and actually for our house.
Oh.
Yes, we did. I went to a school.
Like Harry Potter?
I went to a school that had houses, and we did win things for our house, and we would compete. So I do
That's
remember getting some things for behaving well. Otherwise, I think the rewards of behavior are their own rewards. You don't mm-hmm. behave well to get a reward. You behave well because that's the right thing to do. And if mm-hmm. you behave badly, you'll get punished and people won't respect you and so on. So don't just behave well to get a reward. A reward is a bonus. Just doing the good deed is its own reward. And being good and behaving well, you should just do it always and automatically.
Wise words from Pat.
Yes, there we go. I sound like someone's dad. Right, that's the end of the article, end of all this Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story. Thanks for being with us these 3 days for English for You. I'm Pat.
I'm Tiffany.
Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka welcomed everyone inside. His factory was a magical place. There was a garden where everything could be eaten, with a river of chocolate passing through it. The guests also saw the Oompa Loompas, Willy Wonka's secret workers. These little men loved to sing, play jokes, and eat cocoa beans. Charlie was having the time of his life. However, the other children weren't behaving well. Greedy Augustus tried to drink from the chocolate river and fell in. Violet tried to chew some special new gum and swelled up like a purple balloon. Veruca tried to grab one of Wonka's clever squirrels, but they threw her in the trash. Mike shrank himself so he could get inside a TV. Only Charlie was left at the end. Wonka then told him the truth. He was looking for someone to take over the factory. Since Charlie was a good, kind, honest boy, Wonka put him in charge. Charlie's whole family could move into the chocolate factory.
Vocabulary review.
Behave. If you don't behave in class, then I'll send you to the principal's office. Swell. My arm started to swell up after the mosquito bit me. Grab. The monkey grabbed my friend Alex's sunglasses and broke them in half. Clever. This clever dog can stand up, shake hands, and do all kinds of other tricks. Shrink. My t-shirt shrank in the wash. Now it doesn't fit me anymore. Honest. Though politicians always claim to be honest, few of them really are.